Goeiemiddag gemeente, baie welkom in die erediens ook, welkom aan die gaste wat vanmiddag hier is. Eerstens die afkondigings namens die kerkraad. Die collectus vandag is bestem vir die kerk en hulpbehoevende kerke. Dan sal ons paasdienst vrijdag DV 9:30 hier in die kerk plaasvind. En dan vir kennisname, die gemeentevergadering wat beplan is vir 6 april, is verskuif na 20 april. En dan gemeente, het ons vanavond vir proponent Rufilwe hier, and yeah, I just want to welcome you to our congregation. Rufilwe is currently working in, where did you say it was? F4, yeah, and they're going to be instituted hopefully soon, and yeah, he completed his studies last year, and the classes made him available for a call, so we also pray that he'll receive a call within the next few months, and we're grateful that he'll be leading the sermon this evening, so thank you very much.
Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I greet you all in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior. Let us all stand for the blessing, for the greeting. Where does our help come from? Our help is in the name of the Lord, Creator of heaven and earth. Amen. Grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may all be seated. Let us sing Psalm 24. We're going to sing stanza 2 and also 5. Let us close our eyes and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord our God, we come before you this evening. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we could come to listen to your word, to have fellowship with you, Lord, and also with one another. Father, we thank you that as we come this evening, we ask that you may bless us, O Lord, and that we may listen to your word, and that you may also help us, O God, by drawing us closer to you. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us in our lives, especially the salvation that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for everything that you continue to do for us, and we pray even this evening that we as your children, Lord, that you may continue to remind us of all the goodness, of all the benefits that we receive from you. Father, we pray for your congregation this evening, not only this one, but also all the congregations everywhere where your name, Lord, is proclaimed. Father, we pray that you may strengthen your children, Lord, and that you may give us the strength each day, Lord, that we may continue to live our lives to the glory and the honor of your name. Father, we pray that you may fill us with strength every day and that you may fill us with your wisdom and your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may be able to do your will. Father, we pray that you may be with us, O Lord, in the reading of your word and also the explanation of your word. And Father, we pray that you may apply it in our hearts and that you may change our hearts, Lord, that we may be able to walk in such a way that glorifies you, Lord. Father, we pray and ask that you may also forgive us our sins, Lord. We also that you may forgive, ask that you forgive us our trespasses, our shortcomings, everything that we have done that is against your will. Father, we pray and ask that you may be with us, O God, as we listen to your word. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask all this. Amen. Our scripture reading tonight is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 6, and we're also going to read verse 39 all the way to chapter 12, verse 15. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and in assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. And now we jump to verse 39 through 12:15. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us will they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood, and have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship and discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." May God bless the reading of his word. Let us now sing Psalm 119. We're going to sing stanzas 35, 38, and 39. text this evening is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. May God bless the reading of his word. According to statistics, they say that about 25% of car accidents here in South Africa are caused by people who were obstructed while they were driving, and in most cases by their cell phones or maybe other people in the car. If you are a driver, you will know that one of the most important rules they teach you is that whenever you are driving, always fix your eyes on the road. You know that always hands on the wheel and eyes on the road, because you need to stay focused at all times. And then one little mistake, if you lose your focus, a lot can happen. You can cause a very great accident. Our text here tonight compares the Christian life or the Christian walk with a race. And when I looked at it, I realized that there are so many similarities between running a race and also driving, as a matter of fact, especially when we look at the fact that we all need to be focused at all times. We need to be focused on what we are doing. If you're going to be involved in a race, for example, you know that there are certain guidelines that you need to follow that will enable you to run successfully as to get the prize or as to reach the finishing line. And if you do not follow those guidelines, you might not make it to the finishing line. My text this evening, fix your eyes on Jesus as you run the race. I'm going to be looking at 2 points here. The three points, as a matter of fact. And the first one is, let us lay aside everything that hinders us. And secondly, I'm going to look at what the author of the book says here, that let us run the race with patience. And then thirdly, he says, let us run looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. If you look at the book of Hebrews, if you know maybe some background about it, you realize that the book of Hebrews was written to an audience of mainly Jewish people, people who previously were Jews, as a matter of fact. But then after hearing the message of the gospel, they were converted from Judaism to Christianity. And then as we read this book, we realize that along the way, at some point, these believers were tempted to go back to Judaism. It's either they were being tempted to go back to Judaism or also to introduce some Judaism practices in their Christianity. The author of this book writes this book as in order to show them, in order to encourage them, to show them the superiority of Jesus Christ, to show them that Jesus Christ is better than any other thing that they may try to go back to. And then he writes this book to show them that Christ is better, better than the angels, better than Moses, and anything else that they can think of. And then he shows them from this book that salvation is to be sought in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. And then here we see the encouragement that he gives them, because part of the reason why they were trying to go back to Judaism was because of the persecutions and the difficulties, the problems they were experiencing in their lives as Christians. Maybe some of them looked back and then they realized, but maybe before we became Christians, we didn't experience all these type of persecutions. None of this happened before we became Christians. Maybe it's better for us to go back and all of this will stop eventually. And then the writer here tries to encourage that there's nowhere else you can go. There's no other option. And then you realize here that he gives them so much encouragement to look unto Christ, to focus on him, even during the midst of all those struggles they were going through. And then if you read, especially in the 11th chapter of this book, the author gives them a great encouragement by giving them a list of people who walked with God, people who lived in this world, people who suffered so many difficulties, but yet at the same time trusted in the Lord, and they held on to the promises of God. And then he mentions them, some great men of God who did some extraordinary things. They did so many great things, and they believed in God, and they walked with him. And then as a way of showing these believers that it is possible to walk with God and stay focused all the time, despite of all the difficulties and all the sufferings and the so many difficult experiences that we face in this world. And tonight, as we go through this passage, I want to assure you, I want to assure you that you and I, as we walk in this life, no matter what happens, it is possible for each and every one of us to reach the finishing line, no matter how difficult it can be at times, no matter how challenging it can be at times. But then here we have evidence of people who walked with God. And through Christ, you and I are able to run the race, to reach the finishing line as we continue trusting in Jesus Christ, which brings us to our first point. Let us lay aside everything that hinders us. This is what the author says here in the first verse. There are many places in the Bible where the Christian walk is compared to a race, especially in Paul. Paul speaks about a race most of the time when he speaks about the Christian life. Paul will say, I have finished the race, I have run the race, I have fought the good fight. And then here the author is saying something like that, and then he says, let us run this race that God, that has been set before us. But then one question that you and I need to ask ourselves is this: how can you and I run this race successfully? How can we run in such a way that we can reach the finishing line, that we can get the goal? How can we do that? And then the author here gives us these guidelines that will help us to run the race in a successful way. And then the first one that he mentions here is that he says, let us lay aside everything that hinders us. Let us lay aside all the weight, everything that prevents us from running. If you have seen people run, people who participate in marathons, people who run in a race or whatsoever, you will realize that one of the things that the first things that you notice them with is that they wear some light clothing as they run. You find them wearing maybe just a vest, some shorts, and some light sneakers. The reason they do that is because they don't want anything to hinder them while they are running. If they have gained unnecessary weight before the race, what they do is that they try to get rid of that weight during the training when they prepare for the race. They don't want anything to hinder them in any way. You can imagine if someone participates in a marathon wearing jeans, some heavy boots, or maybe a winter coat, that won't be... It's very unlikely for that kind of a person to reach the finishing line. There's so many hindrances. There's so many things that prevents that person to run successfully all the way to the finishing line. And then here, the author is saying to us, if you and I want to run this race, in order for us to get the prize, to reach the goal, you need to lay aside everything that prevents you, everything that hinders you, everything that will affect your spiritual growth. Maybe you might be asking yourself, what are these things? What are these weights that the author is talking about? But it could mean a lot of things in our lives. We have so many things in our lives that occupy our lives, and they prevent us from running the race. They prevent us from walking with Christ, and they affect our spiritual growth. With these Jewish believers, the author could have meant maybe the danger of clinging to Judaism practices and also the fear of persecutions. But to us, it might be something different. We all have those things that prevent us, that hinders us from walking successfully with Christ. It could be our families, our jobs, our money, our worldly commitments. It could be our anger issues, unforgiveness, bitterness, so many things. My question to you this evening, let me ask you this question. What is that thing, what is that weight in your life that is weighing you down, that is making it impossible for you to walk with Christ? You can think about this for a moment. What is that thing in your life that is weighing you down? And when you look at it, for example, I just mentioned some of the things like money or families, jobs, and all those kind of things. And maybe you are asking yourself, then how can my family prevent me from walking with Christ? How can my job prevent me from walking with Christ? But then, here's the simple answer. The moment you start loving those things more than you love the Lord, the moment you put any other thing as a priority more than Jesus Christ in your life, that's when you start having problems to walk with Him successfully. Those things start hindering you and they prevent you. Sometimes you find yourself not even able to pray as a child of God. Some of us, maybe we have not even been faithful to attend church services. Some of us haven't been reading the Word of God. We have so many things. There are so many things that are weighing us down, preventing us to pray, to listen to the Word of God, to do all these kind of things that God requires from us. Anything that takes away your focus from Jesus Christ, you need to get rid of that. You need to start doing it now. You need to get rid of all the hindrances, because if you fail to do that, those things will be a problem in your life. And one thing that I realize is that whenever you and I do not get rid of all these weights in our lives, Satan uses them as an advantage to try to discredit us, to try to cause us to doubt our assurance in Christ. The author says here, you need to lay aside everything. And not only that, he also speaks about the sin that closely entangles us. Here, they say that the idea of what the author is saying, one commentator puts it this way, he says, this could mean a garment or maybe any kind of clothing that hangs loosely on an athlete, someone running with some clothing hanging loose on his body. It's so easy for that thing, whatever, that clothing to impede in his movement. It might cause him to fall anything that can happen. The author of the book says here that we need to get rid of those kind of things. There are so many things, for example, in our lives. Some of us struggle with those secret sins, those kind of stuff that other people cannot see. Only you know. He says we need to get rid of all those kind of things. You cannot continue to live your life as a child of God with all those secret addictions, secret sins, things that you think that as long as nobody knows, I'm safe. They will affect your spiritual growth as a child of God. You need to get rid of that. Which leads us to our second point. The author here says, not only should we get rid of all these things in our lives, but then we also need to run with patience. In order for us to get to the finishing line, you need to run this race with patience. The word that he uses here speaks of perseverance, steadfastness. In other words, what he's saying here is that in order for us to run the race, it requires a lot of strict training and also patience. You cannot reach the finishing line unless you have patience. Imagine if you had to run maybe a 5 kilometer or maybe 10 kilometer race. Unless you have patience, you won't be able to get to the finishing line. It will be very easy for you to give up along the way. Whenever you start feeling tired, whenever you start looking at the distance that is still ahead, you might say to yourself, let me just stop here. Maybe this is not for me. The author here is saying we need to run with patience, steadfastness. There's something that I like that Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through verse 27. Paul says, Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? And he says here, I like this here, he says, run in such a way as to get the prize. Don't just run, but run in such a way as to get the prize. Paul continues to say, Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. He says we should run in such a way that as to get the prize, and that requires a lot of patience. That requires a lot of patience. Something that motivates patience for people who run in a race is knowing the goal, knowing the reason why you are participating on that race. If you just find people running and then just join them, for example, not knowing what they're running for, not knowing what the end goal is, you won't be motivated in any way. You won't be motivated, and it will be so easy for you to quit the race or to stop at any moment. It requires a lot of patience, but then patience is also motivated by knowing the end goal. A runner who knows what they are running for, a runner who knows focusing on the end goal, will never stop until they reach the finishing line. They won't stop until they receive the prize. In the same way, as you and I run in this race that God has set before us, let us run, not aimlessly, but focusing on the goal. And while we do that, let us have patience. There are going to be so many things in our lives that are going to discourage us. There are going to be so many obstacles in your life. But then you need to have patience. In the midst of all the trouble, in the midst of all the struggle, the sufferings and whatsoever that you're going to experience as a Christian, you need to run with patience. You need to run, not focusing on those things, but focusing on the goal that you're going to receive, the prize that God is going to give us. There will be so many ups and downs in our lives. But then whatever happens, we don't stop running. Keep on running. Sometimes things might not go our way. Things might not go the way we have planned them. But then we keep on running. We need to keep on running all the time, whatever happens. If you remember, if you know the story, the book, the John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian was running his race, when he was on his way to the promised city, to the celestial city, the book tells us that there were so many difficulties in his life. There were so many things on the way to discourage him, but he kept on going. This is exactly what the author is saying here. Our focus should not be in the things of this world in any way. Our focus in our lives should not be maybe on getting better jobs, maybe having nice families, maybe all these things, maybe all the material wealth in the world. Our focus should be on reaching the goal, getting the prize that God has promised us. In other words, what I'm saying to you that even if we don't get healed from our sicknesses in this life, we keep on running. Even though we don't get what we pray for, we keep on running. Even though it gets difficult, we run with patience. We endure all the sufferings all the time. This is what the author is saying here. Run with patience. Don't give up. Even at times when you feel like I can't do it anymore. Even at times when you feel like, I just want to take a break. I just want to have my own space. But then the author says, we run with patience. You look ahead, keep on running. And then my third point, looking unto Jesus. The author says here, in verse 2, he says, not only should we get rid of all the things that prevent us from running, and not only should we run with patience, but we need to run this race looking unto Jesus, fixing our eyes unto Jesus Christ. It says, looking unto Jesus, the perfecter, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. As we run this race, we need to look at him. Jesus Christ is our goal. He's our prize. But not only is he our prize, but he is also our motivation. Jesus Christ is the one we can look unto. Jesus Christ is the one who motivates us. He is the one who fills us, who gives us all the things that we need in order to run. He gives us the means of grace to equip us, to enable us every day to keep on running this race. Jesus Christ is our motivation. When you and I look unto him, when you and I draw strength from Jesus Christ, then we can keep on running without giving up in any way. The author here says, gives us an example of what Jesus Christ did, especially when he endured all the suffering that he went through on the cross, but then he never stopped. He never stopped in any way. Everything that he did all the way, even though it was so difficult, but then he says here that he endured such opposition from sinners. And then when you and I look unto him, we won't grow weary in any way. We won't give up. We need to run this race, fixing our lives upon Jesus Christ. In other words, the main focus of our lives should be nothing but Jesus Christ. Nobody else but Jesus. Our main focus in life, our goal in life, should not be in our families, our pastors, or whatsoever, other believers, but Jesus Christ. And here he gives us this encouragement of the exalted Jesus Christ. He says, in order not to grow weary, you have to run looking unto him. Run looking unto Jesus Christ all the time. Jesus Christ suffered so many things, but then he was patient. And then he is the one who can motivate us today. There is something that is so important that I saw in this chapter. Even though the author in the 11th chapter mentioned so many great men of God, these heroes of faith, people like Daniel, people like Gideon, all those men, great men of God, when you and I look at these people, we might tend to think that these are the men that we should look unto. These are the men we should maybe find a good example from. But then it's so amazing how that the author here, when he comes to chapter 12, he does not point them back to chapter 11. But then he says to them, no, you don't have to look unto Moses. You don't have to look unto David or all those men of God. But then you look unto Jesus Christ and no one else but him. Let me ask you this question this evening. Are you participating in this race? Are you busy running this race? Are your eyes fixed on the exalted Son of God? Are your eyes fixed on no one else but Jesus Christ? He says, we need to look unto him, even though at times it will be difficult, even though at times we might not even understand what the will of God is for us, but we keep on running and we look unto Jesus Christ and all our focus will be in no one but him. We need to stay focused all the time. And the only way for us to stay focused is when you and I look unto Jesus. If ever we move our focus away from Christ, then we might not get to the finishing line. But then the encouragement that we have here is that you and I, as children of God, we need at all times, no matter what happens around us, no matter how difficulties we might experience in this life, look unto Christ, and he is the one who enables you. He will enable you to run with patience. He will enable you to get rid of all the hindrances, and he will enable you to run all the way to the finishing line. Let us put our trust completely in him. Let us put all our focus in no one else but Jesus. As we run this race, let us focus, let us fix our eyes on him. Amen. Let us sing from Psalm 18, stanza 10, 14, and 15. And then after that, we are going to go to the Lord in prayer.